Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study on tongues, we were talking about being consistent by referring to the entire passage, including taking up servants, laying on of hands, and healing and drinking deadly things. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If we stick with their interpretation, if we're going to be consistent with somebody that says, this is speaking up a heavenly language, and this is the sign, look at verse 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So, if you believe that Jesus is telling us that tongues is going to be a sign of our salvation, then you must also see that you can drink any deadly thing. So why not, if you believe in tongues, why not tonight just take a drink of a good big drink? I mean, drink a big 16-ounce glass of strychnine poison. Well, you say, well, preacher, we shouldn't do that. Well, if you're going to be consistent, if you're going to say that this refers to the tongues and it keeps on going today, then it's also the deadly poison. It keeps on going today. Now, let's go back over to 1 Corinthians and chapter 14. And we look there at verses 14 and 15. Paul says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now, when you see that, he's letting us know that experience is not to be placed above the word of God. He says, when I pray, I want to understand what I'm praying about. I don't want to know what it is all about. Kind of reminds you of back in John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words, what is his words? The word of God. My words abide in you. Ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Now, you've got to abide in him, that is, live in obedience to his words. And you meditate, and you think on his word, and when you do that, you bear much fruit, because you live according to the word of God. And therefore, he says, you'll pray, and you'll ask what you will. And it'll be granted because you're asking based on the word of God. You see, a lot of times there are people that pray, they have no idea what they're praying about. And here he's saying, if I pray, if I sing, I want to understand what it's about. In verses 20 through 22 here, 1 Corinthians 14, we see the purpose of tongues. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. Now, isn't it interesting here? He says this in verse 21 shall be a sign to this people. Now, that begs a question. Who does this people represent? The sign is to be to this people. Well, we go back to 1 Corinthians 1:22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. So who requires a sign? The Jews. One does not have to stretch the imagination to know that Paul is talking of Jews in this passage. in Isaiah chapter 28 and verses 11 and 12, we read this: "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, 'This is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing,' yet they would not hear." Now, in this particular passage, tongues, since this is written in Hebrew, is very definite, and it refers to another language or a foreign language. It is clearly a language here and not a gibberish. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:21 lets us know that it is referring to this passage here in the Old Testament, Isaiah 28, 11, and 12. And in the passage of Isaiah, it is clearly a language, not a gibberish. And the tongues are a sign, we find out, for the Jew, not just out there for anyone. It is a sign to the Jew. Therefore, as shown in Acts, tongues were for unbelieving Jews. Even saved Jews needed to believe that salvation was for the Gentile also. That's why when Acts 10, there are Gentiles getting saved and they speak in tongues, that Jews are present, because they must see that salvation is for all men. Now, I want you to notice 8 things about tongues in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. First of all, going back to verse 22, it says, "Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe." So the first point is that tongues is a sign to unbelieving Jews. Jews are always present everywhere you see tongues appear in the Bible, and there's no place that they are without it. So if you're in a meeting and they're going to speak in tongues, you better make sure there is a Jew present, or, again, you're not doing it according to the Word of God. Okay, let's look at verse 26, and we get a second thing that we see here. It says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying." Okay, so now we see that it was to be used only for the edification of the church. That is, building them up and making them stronger Christians by the use of tongues. Not to give them stronger feelings, but to make them stronger Christians. Therefore, they must have said something in the tongue that would be a good addition to the daily life of the individuals of the local church. Now, let me give you an example of that, of a use of a tongue. In John chapter 21, we remember the familiar story of Jesus asking Peter, "Lovest thou me?" And Peter says, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest I love you." And the Lord asked him a second time, and the Lord asked him a third time. The third time, Peter is very discouraged and distraught. He says, "Lord, thou knowest I love thee." And we say, well, he was kind of discouraged and distraught because the Lord questioned his love on 3 occasions there, one right after the other. And so that's what was so hard about it. But no, that's not it. You see, in the Greek, Jesus said, "Peter, do you agape me? Do you have the highest form? Do you have a godly love, a God love, and a divine love for me?" And Peter's answer was, "Yea, Lord, I filio you. I have a strong friendship, committed friendship, love to you," is the idea. And Jesus asked him a second time, "Peter, agape thou me?" And Peter answers, says, "Yea, Lord, you know I filio you. I have a strong friendship, love to you." And then the third time, Jesus says, "Peter, do you even filio me?" And Peter's grieved the third time, because now the Lord is questioning his friendship love. And he tells him on each occasion, "Feed my sheep." And so we find from that, in using a tongue, we see that the purpose was to feed the sheep of God. Now let's look at a third rule here in the use of tongues here in chapter 14. And we find that in verse 27. He says, if any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by course, and let one interpret. So no more than three people in a service should speak in a tongue, and they must take turns doing it, not all at once. And he said it's even preferable if it was only two people. And that leads to a fourth thing. Verse 28. But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Okay, if there's not an interpreter, then he doesn't speak. It's that simple. If there's no interpreter, you don't speak. Therefore, it tells us that it must always be interpreted. Charles Feinberg was a seminary professor and wrote many books, was a scholar in the Hebrew language. And he went to one of these meetings one day, and he stood in the preaching part while everybody was jumping up and speaking in a tongue, and he stood up and he started quoting Psalms chapter 1 in Hebrew. When he finished, he sat down, and another man across the way stood up to interpret and said it had something to do with women and their work in the church. Dr. Feinberg stood back up and he told them they were wrong, that he had just quoted the first psalm in Hebrew. Well, needless to say, pandemonium broke out and they ran him out of there in a hurry, okay? But wait a minute. That interpreter was sincere. He believed that what he was saying was the actual interpretation. But you see, Satan is an angel of light. He can give you an experience. He can give you that sensual feeling. Also, man can have a desire just as a person lost in the desert has a desire and they see a mirage. You can have such a desire to do it that you end up doing it and you've, in a sense, given yourself without realizing it to Satan's control. You must always have an interpreter. He must always be present, or you don't say anything. The fifth thing about tongues, and this is for that day, verse 34, says, let your women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the law. Now, we find here that women are forbidden to speak in tongues in the church. Now, I'm not trying to be funny to say this. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I do believe that this would stop about 75% of the tongues movement if they just observed this one thing, that women were forbidden to speak in tongues in the church. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click to the lamp and light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.